Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Second Machine Age by Erik Brynjolfsson examines how digital technologies are reshaping work, productivity, and prosperity. Building on the idea that society is entering a new era comparable to the Industrial Revolution, the book explains why rapid advances in computing power, networks, software, and artificial intelligence can create immense wealth while also disrupting labor markets and widening inequality. It frames the modern economy as one where many activities can be digitized, copied at near zero cost, and scaled globally, producing outsized rewards for top performers and firms. The authors explore why innovation may feel both exhilarating and unsettling. Technology boosts capabilities, but it can also outpace the ability of institutions, education systems, and policies to adapt. Through an accessible blend of economic reasoning, real-world examples, and strategic proposals, the book offers readers a way to understand what is changing, what is not, and how individuals and societies can respond to ensure broad-based gains rather than concentrated benefits. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a new era of exponential digital progress. A core theme is that modern digital innovation differs from earlier waves of mechanization because it improves. The book highlights how computing, data storage, sensors, and connectivity continually become cheaper and more powerful, enabling capabilities that once seemed out of reach. When a technology can be digitized, it becomes easy to replicate, distribute, and recombine, allowing small teams to build products that serve millions. This dynamic helps explain why entire industries can shift quickly and why competitive advantage can change hands faster than in the age of heavy industry. The authors also distinguish between improvements that automate routine tasks and innovations that create entirely new products and markets. This distinction matters because society often measures progress through familiar indicators like manufacturing employment or wages, while much of digital value shows up as increased convenience, expanded choice, and improved quality. By framing the current period as a second machine age, the book invites readers to see technological change as a general-purpose transformation, not a collection of isolated gadgets. That perspective sets up later discussions about who gains, who loses, and what choices can steer outcomes. Secondly, work transformation, automation, augmentation, and task reallocation. The book argues that technology does not simply eliminate jobs or create jobs in a neat balance, it reshapes the task content of occupations. Some tasks are codified and routine enough to be automated, while others require judgment, creativity, interpersonal skills, and context awareness. Many roles become hybrids where humans collaborate with software, analytics, and intelligent tools, shifting workers toward higher value activities or, in some cases, toward more precarious work. The authors emphasize that disruption often happens unevenly. Middle-skilled routine jobs can be hollowed out as computers handle standardized processing, while demand rises for both high-skill analytical work and lower-wage service roles that are harder to automate. They also highlight the speed of adjustment as a key problem. Even if new opportunities emerge, displaced workers may not be able to retrain quickly, move geographically, or absorb wage cuts during transitions. This creates pressure on social cohesion and fuels anxiety about the future. The book encourages thinking in terms of complementarity. Individuals and organizations can prosper when they identify where humans add distinctive value and use technology to amplify it, rather than competing head-to-head with automation on its strongest terrain. Thirdly, winner-take-most economics and rising inequality. Another important topic is how digital markets tend to concentrate rewards. Because software and platforms can scale globally at low marginal cost, early advantages in quality, data, network effects, and brand can translate into dominant positions. This helps explain why a few firms and individuals can capture a large share of value, even while overall productivity rises. The book links these dynamics to widening inequality and a decoupling between productivity growth and typical wages. Skills and capital that complement technology gain bargaining power, while routine labor faces increased substitution and weaker wage growth. The authors also discuss superstar effects where the best performer in a category can serve an enormous market, leaving less room for second-best competitors. At the same time, consumers may benefit from lower prices and better services, complicating simple narratives about who is winning. The policy challenge is to preserve the innovation engine while ensuring that prosperity is broadly shared. By clarifying the mechanisms behind concentration and inequality, the book moves the conversation beyond slogans and toward concrete levers, such as competition policy, education, labor market institutions, and the tax system. Fourthly, measuring prosperity in the digital economy. The authors explore why traditional economic statistics can understate the benefits and distort the risks of digital progress. Gross domestic product, wage measures, and productivity metrics were developed for an industrial economy where value was tied to physical output and paid transactions. Digital goods often deliver value through free or low-cost services, rapid quality improvements, and expanded access, which can be hard to capture. For example, search, maps, messaging, and many online tools improve daily life without appearing proportionally in income measures. At the same time, mismeasurement does not erase real problems. Job polarization, insecurity, and unequal bargaining power are experienced directly by households. The book encourages a more nuanced view that acknowledges both increasing consumer surplus and the distributional consequences of technology. It also highlights that policy choices should be based on better diagnostics, including understanding where productivity is truly rising, which sectors are lagging, and how innovation diffuses. By reframing the measurement debate, the book helps readers avoid the false choice between celebrating technology as pure progress and condemning it as pure harm. The point is to evaluate outcomes with tools that match the structure of the modern economy. Lastly, Strategies and Policies for Shared Prosperity. The book closes with an action-oriented agenda aimed at aligning technological progress with broad-based gains. At the individual level, it emphasizes investing in skills that complement machines, such as problem framing, creativity, collaboration, and the ability to work with data-driven tools. For organizations, it stresses redesigning processes and business models to leverage digital capabilities, not merely digitizing old workflows. At the societal level, the authors argue that institutions must adapt as quickly as technologies do. This includes education and lifelong learning systems that support transitions, labor market policies that reduce the pain of displacement, and a social safety net that helps people take productive risks. They also discuss the importance of entrepreneurship and innovation ecosystems, because new firms and ideas are critical for translating technical breakthroughs into widely distributed opportunity. Competition and regulatory frameworks matter as well, since concentrated digital markets can dampen dynamism and limit wage growth. The overall message is that the future is not predetermined by technology alone. Choices about policy, investment, and institutional design can either amplify inequality and insecurity or turn the second machine age into a period of widely shared prosperity. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a clear framework for understanding how AI, software, and networks change the economy, including managers, entrepreneurs, students, policymakers, and workers planning their next career move. It is especially useful for anyone who feels torn between optimism about innovation and worry about job security, wages, or social stability. The benefit to daily life is practical. It helps you interpret headlines about automation, platforms, and productivity without panic or hype, and it points to realistic ways to position yourself and your organization around complementarity rather than substitution. You come away better able to choose skills, roles, and strategies that harness digital tools instead of being blindsided by them. Compared with many technology books that focus on gadgets, predictions, or narrow industry stories, this one stands out for connecting technological capabilities to economic mechanisms like scaling, network effects, and labor market polarization. It also offers a balanced view that recognizes consumer gains while confronting inequality and institutional lag. That combination of accessible explanation and actionable perspective makes it worth buying for readers seeking long-term clarity, not just short-term trends. If you would like to support Erik Brynjolfsson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.